Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Although there are grape vineyards elsewhere in Texas, here in East Texas, we no doubt know more about the piney woods. I think there have been vineyards and wineries in every state and province where I have lived, and I've enjoyed visiting them there and in other places where I've traveled. Recently, I reflected on my own familiarity with vineyards when one of the young men in our youth catechesis class asked me what a vineyard was. And I explained that vineyards are where grapes are grown and often where wine is made. Knowing what vineyards are helps us understand the parable of the wicked vineyard tenants in today's gospel reading, of course. If Jesus were to teach the parable in our place and time, one might wonder whether he would make the parable about sharecroppers instead. It's something we might relate better to. Nevertheless, as we this morning consider today's gospel reading, we do so under the theme, Vineyard Tenants and Their Fruit. Vineyard Tenants and Their Fruit. Today's gospel reading picks up St. Matthew's divinely inspired account pretty much where last week's gospel reading left off. Then we heard what the chief priests and the elders of the Jewish people had to say about Jesus' authority and how they had to think through the truth and its consequences for them. Afterwards, Jesus taught a parable about two sons. One son said he would not work in the family's vineyard, but changed his mind and did. And the other son said he would work, but did not. The Jewish leaders realized that the first son had done the will of his father. But as Jesus pointed out, the Jewish leaders still would not repent and enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus commanded the Jewish leaders to hear the parable that we heard this morning. And we will hear Jesus tell them yet another parable in succession next week. If the preceding parable of the two sons was quite critical of the Jewish leaders, the one we heard this morning is even more devastating. As if Jesus were giving a type of synagogue sermon on today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah, Jesus draws on the vineyard as a figure of speech for God's and Israel's relationship. But in order to make his point about the Jewish leaders, Jesus also draws on first century arrangements where absent landlords leased their vineyards to tenants in exchange for a share of the fruit. The parable highlights the tenants' faithlessness and judgment. And it also is used by Jesus to teach more about himself as the Christ. The Jewish leaders got that Jesus was talking about them, but they did not respond to his teaching as Jesus would have liked for them to have responded and for us to respond this day. Where God in the Old Testament reading seems to indict all of his people, Jesus in the gospel reading seems to focus more exclusively on the Jewish leaders. They correspond to the wicked tenants, as God corresponds to the master of the house or the owner of the vineyard, and that the vineyard corresponds to his people, and Jesus, of course, to the Son. At least that much correspondence between the parable's earthly and heavenly sides seems obvious and necessary for the parable's main point, though much additional correspondence is often suggested, including some going back to the Old Testament reading itself, supposedly likening some of its details to aspects of Jewish worship. Yet while Jesus in the parable seems to focus more exclusively on the Jewish leaders, his warning about potential judgment for rejecting him also in some sense applies to us, as Jesus himself makes clear in his broader application that follows the parable. By nature, we are as wretched and as deserving of a miserable death as the wicked tenants. What more could God have done for us than he has done for us in Christ? He looks for justice and righteousness from us, but he does not find them as he should. Even we who believe in some ways still do not respect his Son with the depth of our original and our actual sin, giving evidence of our own attempts to be lords of our own lives. Yes, the Jewish leaders sought to and eventually did arrest Jesus and have him crucified. But your sin and my sin are as much to blame for Jesus' death as anyone or anything else. Today's bulletin cover features both a lovely picture of a lush vineyard and a quotation from today's gospel reading about the owner of the vineyards finally sending his son. And the bulletin's explanation on the back cover tries to make good news out of the son's sending. But do not let that explanation mislead you. The son in the parable, as featured on the front cover, is sent in judgment. The gift of an eternal kingdom is given to those who hate and slay the Son only if they repent. As the parable in some sense prophesies, God, in his great wisdom and mercy, used the murder of his Son to work salvation. Jesus supports and extends the parable's teaching by asking the Jewish leaders the meaning of Psalm 118, which itself arguably prophesies of his, the stone's, rejection in death, followed by his exaltation in resurrection. Such is the Lord's plan that he fulfills in order to save us. And it is marvelous in the eyes of all of those who repent of their sins and believe that Jesus died for them on the cross. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, apparently in 1538, preached a number of successive sermons on today's gospel reading. And in so doing, he identifies two different reactions to Jesus as the stone. Luther says the unrepentant are crushed by the stone, while the repentant are the ones who fall on top of the stone and are broken to pieces to their benefit. For examples, Luther points to St. Paul in today's epistle reading and to his own experience. Luther says, "Those who let themselves be broken to pieces, believe, and are baptized will be built upon the stone. They listen and will be saved." Their little pieces that result from them having fallen on the stone are built up into the church. As St. Paul describes for the Ephesians, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The care of the kingdom of God was indeed taken away from the Jewish leaders and given to a people or nation of leaders producing its fruit. The Lord gave to his church the gift of the office of the holy ministry to preach his law and gospel, to baptize with water and the word, to individually absolve those privately confessing the sins that they know and feel in their heart, and to consecrate bread that is Christ's body and wine that is his blood in order for the church to receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. such ministers can be said to be the new vineyard tenants and all who believe their fruit. So, regardless of whether or not we have ever seen a vineyard or know much about vineyards, this morning we have considered vineyard tenants and their fruit. We have realized our own wickedness, and heeding Jesus' warning, we have fallen on him, the stone, to be broken to pieces and then built up into the church. With St. Paul in today's epistle reading, we have the righteousness from God that depends on faith, and we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, our dear Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.